You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Tuesday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is August 13th, and yesterday was pretty slow in the sports world, so we might not have as long of an episode today, but let's jump right into it anyway. The first thing I wanted to talk about was the release of the preseason AP poll for college football. Georgia comes in at number one, and again, this is to nobody's surprise. They received 46 of the 62 first-place votes. They've just been one of the more dominant teams that we've seen in recent history, especially over the past few years, so I'm okay with that one. Ohio State comes in at number two. They had 15 of the first-place votes, and then Oregon comes in at number three. They also received a single first-place vote as well. Texas and Alabama round out the top five with Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and Florida State as the remaining top 10 teams. So as you can tell, the college football landscape is beginning to be just completely dictated by the Big Ten and the SEC, as they have eight of the top 10 teams. And one of those top 10 teams is Notre Dame. You know, they're still independent. So the Pac-12 or Pac-2 or whatever it is now, they're essentially irrelevant. The Big 12, they don't have any top 10 teams. And the ACC barely snuck in there with Florida State at 10. So looking at the top 25 as a whole, the SEC had the most ranked teams of anybody. They had nine. And then the Big 10 was the next closest with six. And one stat that I wanted to talk about that I keep seeing that I find interesting is that there's almost always at least one team every year that starts as a preseason top 10 team, and then they end the season unranked. I saw a few different stats. One said it's happened like 20 of the past 21 seasons. Another one said it's like 30 of the past 35. So regardless, there's a clear pattern that someone is going to drop out of the top 25 that is currently in the top 10. So I know this isn't fully guaranteed, but like I said, most likely going to happen. So I'm going to rank my top three teams that I think are the most likely to drop out of the top 10, or actually really out of the top 25 that are currently ranked in the top 10. So I will start out with my third most likely team to fall out of the rankings. I think all of the top five teams will be fine. I know that Bama is in their first season without Saban, and they had some additional turnover, but I think they'll still be able to put together a good season. But that brings me to the sixth spot and my third most likely team, Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is a really good team. I really like Lane Kiffin. I think he's one of the more brilliant minds in the game, but I still just fully do not believe in the Rebels. They just haven't proven they can win at the very, very top of the sport, and I don't love their schedule. I think that's going to result in a few losses for them. They play Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Georgia at home, but then they have to travel to LSU, Arkansas, and also Florida. And if I had to bet, I would think they still put together a pretty decent season and probably remain in the top 25, but I think their ceiling is still probably 10-2, so they're going to be my third most likely team to fall out of the rankings. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose another game or two beyond that. So like I said, they're going to come in at number three for me. Second most likely team is Florida State. They're already only at number 10, and they don't have the toughest schedule in the world, but I just feel like Jordan Travis was the heart and soul of that team, and I'm just not sure how well they're going to rebound this year. I really like Mike Norvell leading this team, but I just don't see how they avoid somewhere in the range of 2-4 losses this year. They play at Duke and at Notre Dame. Then they also have a few other games that I think could trip them up. You know, they play Clemson, Florida, and Georgia Tech. And I know, you know, Florida and Georgia Tech probably aren't going to be elite teams this year, but I still think they could give them some tough games. So just like Ole Miss, I don't think they finish the season with anything less than two losses. And another stumble here or there could result in a 4-5 loss season. And then, you know, ultimately an unranked Seminole team come December. So they're going to be my second most likely team. But that leads us to my most likely team to fall out of the top 25, and that is Michigan. At number nine, they are the lowest ranked national champion. And yes, that is national champion with an asterisk, since 2011. They lost a bunch of guys to the draft and graduation. They also lose Harbaugh and some other members of the staff as well. J.J. McCarthy is gone, and I don't think they have a surefire solution to backfill him. They've got Orji, and then, they also have seventh-year QB Jack Tuttle is in the conversation. When I saw that, I honestly thought it was a typo, but nope. This guy has been in college since 2017. At this point, just get a job, bro. You're 25 years old. I mean, maybe they just have him on the team since so many of the other staff members left that they just need another person to rent a car to get these guys to the airport for games. But I don't know. There are kids going into second grade that weren't even born yet when Jack began his college career. I mean, how is that even allowed? Not that Michigan would abide by the rules anyway, but I digress. Back to the actual football variables. So this team, they truly lost a lot of guys, and they still have some great players, but their schedule is brutal. They have to host Texas, USC, Michigan State, and Oregon, and then they have to play at Washington and at Ohio State. Michigan State probably won't be elite, and Washington either. They lost even more players and staff this offseason than Michigan, so they probably won't be as formidable either, but that's still a murderer's row of games. I think best case scenario, they win 10 games. There's a scenario too where if more penalties come to the surface around the cheating scandals and then they blow a couple games, I could see, a situation where their season spirals into 5 or 6 losses. And that's why they're going to be my team that is most likely to drop out of the rankings after being a preseason top 10 program. But similarly, I think there's a few teams that can make a run this postseason that are initially ranked a bit lower. So the first team that came to mind was Clemson. They opened with Georgia, but after that, their schedule is about as easy as it gets for a Power 4 team. And so I think they could run the table even if they open up with a loss. Oklahoma State could pile up some wins in the Big 12. They only have 2 teams on their schedule currently that are ranked. And then I would also look out for Miami. They brought in Cam Ward, and they only have 1 ranked team on their schedule so far. And that's Florida State, who, as I already mentioned, I think they might be ranked a little bit high. So anyway, super excited for this upcoming season. It really should be interesting with Oklahoma and Texas now in the SEC, and then with Oregon, USC, Washington, and UCLA in the Big Ten. I think it's going to allow for a lot more great games between the top teams. And then we also have the first 12-team playoff, which will make the end of the regular season really crazy as you have teams competing for the byes and then home games and just playoff spots in general like we've never seen before. So I cannot wait for that. But also really briefly, I wanted to run through some of the notable scores in the MLB last night. We haven't covered that the past few days. So as we transition to that, the first game I want to talk about was the White Sox. They shockingly crushed the Yankees 12-2 for just their 29th win of the year. It was only a 6-2 game before the Sox put up another 6 runs in the 7th to put that one out of reach on a night where they finished with 18 hits. I'm not sure if they had 18 hits all season coming into this one. But anyway, over to the Braves and Giants. That one went scoreless all the way to extras before Travis d'Arnaud scored Arcia on a sac fly to give the Braves a 1-0 lead. And that would be the final in a game that only saw 7 combined hits, much different from that White Sox game. But with the win, the Braves keep themselves in the wild card race as they now hold the 3rd spot despite losing 7 of their last 8 coming into last night's game. The Giants are still a game above 500, but they are 4th in the NL West right now, and they are 2.5 games behind the Braves for that 3rd and final wild card spot. Then over in Cleveland, the Guardians beat the Cubs 9-8 in a game that the Cubs really needed. They are now 1.5 games behind the Giants, who we just talked about. And there's only about 40 games left to play, so they're running out of time. They need to make their move now. But then since the Orioles were off, the Guardians are now once again tied with Baltimore for the best record in the league at 70-49, which is also the same record that the Dodgers improved to with their 5-2 win over the Brewers in Milwaukee last night. They are now 1/2 game ahead of the Phillies, who were also off Monday, for the National League's top seed. But with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Tuesday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening, and if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.